Good morning. Well, what a privilege it was to be asked to go on this trip to India. I'm so, so grateful. It was an awesome experience, and I feel very blessed and stretched to have visited these wonderful men, women, and children in Hyderabad through Agape Alive in India with my sisters, Sarah and Jan. Hyderabad is a vast, sprawling city, and although you have an idea of the poverty in India, you don't realise just how extreme it is in comparison to our life here until you see it in the flesh. It is tangible and overwhelming and nothing like I've ever seen before. So anything small that can give hope to the people and their lives there is very important. The word hope was in the forefront of my mind pretty much as soon as we arrived. You need a willing heart to receive hope, and we met many of those during our stay. Before we left for India, I prayed a lot, particularly to be filled with confidence and a spirit of boldness, as this was something that even only 6 months ago I would have been very fearful about and that I wouldn't have had the confidence to do. I prayed that God would give me the right words, games and activities for the children's work, as this was all in His name. And the theme was based on Psalm 139:14. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, I know that full well. Through songs, stories, prayers and games, I wanted all the children to know and understand that God knows every single one of them and He loves them all so much. However different they may look on the outside, they are all wonderfully made, and what is in their heart is the most important thing. I didn't want to shy away from any opportunities that were presented to me, and I wanted to share the glory of God with anyone that was willing to listen to me. I wanted to show you a couple of photos and a quick video just to make it all a little more personal and real so you can see of the beautiful faces that I saw. This is one that I was reading a very special book called The Little White Owl that was loaned to me by a very special friend of mine who's here this morning, Julie. And it's a touching story that celebrates difference and the beauty inside us all. The children made their own owls with feathers, etc., to take home. And you can see them making these in picture three. There they are. The first one before that was of the children that I looked after on the first day of the conference. The number increased for the second and third days. And I have to say, all the children, with no exceptions, were a total delight to be with. So well-behaved and respectful, they would certainly have a very positive impact on some young people in the UK. Some of their work is on the wall behind them, and everything they made, I wanted them to keep and take home after the conference was finished. So they all had their own portfolio, and on the last day, all their beautiful work was given for them to keep. I was very mindful that what we talked, sang and prayed about wasn't forgotten as soon as we flew home. Hopefully they all now know that with no exception they are fearfully and wonderfully made and precious in God's sight. The video is of the children launching their prayer helicopters. That was my husband's template and idea, which they've just made, all having their own personal prayer on. Okay, I'll carry on. I'll continue. There were so many things that had an impact on me whilst I was in Hyderabad, from the widow that Jan talked about to the beautiful orphan girls and boys who always wanted to help in any way they could, and the delightful children we visited at the Agape School. But there was one story that did have a huge impact, which was about a 16-year-old girl called Leah, who asked to speak to me and for me to pray for a family problem at the end of the second day of children's work. She had been one of the helpers on day one, so I had got to know her quite well, and she spoke reasonable English, which was a great advantage, and we went to a quiet corner, and there she poured out her feelings for almost half an hour while I just listened. She explained that her parents had parted when she was 3 years old, and her father had left her living with her mother, older sister, and paternal grandparents, who she said were very unloving and mean to her sister and mother. Her parents were apart for 11 years and then reunited 2 years ago, and things seems to have worsened at home since then. Her father calls her sister Kitty and her girl child, which is common, and he wants to get rid of them out of the house. Her grandparents never say anything positive to her, and so her mother cries all the time and has tried suicide a number of times. On one occasion, not so long ago, her mother wanted to commit suicide, but with the girls, and this is common practice. And at the last moment, seeing her beautiful girls in front of her changed her mind, thank goodness. Leah, Kitty, and her mother came to the church at Chapur Nagar, but their father doesn't. There is also an ongoing family argument regarding land, so this has just added to her father's anger. Leah is a bright girl, but hasn't been to school or bothering with her studies over the last couple of the months, as she feels so upset. I listened as she told me that she hasn't opened up before and was so touched that she felt she could trust me to talk to me about a very personal problem. I wanted to encourage Leah through prayer and love and the word from the Lord that she most definitely had a future and must promise never to contemplate suicide again, as this is most definitely not what God wants. As in Matthew 11, 28, 30, we can just listen and they can feel rested. She could share her fears and worries with me and her soul will rest. We are gentle like the Lord and her burdens will feel lighter. I asked Leah to continue with her studies as this was her future and possible chance of a better life for her and her family, and she promised that she would. The next and last day of the conference, she asked if she could translate for me with the children, and I said I would be delighted as I knew this would give her so much confidence, which she did brilliantly, and I could already see a difference in her. She seemed less burdened and was smiling. Sarah, Jan and I were praying and anointing the attendees of the conference in the afternoon, came to me, so I was able to pray for their future and anoint them together. I know that they felt the love and spirit from the Lord through us all. The last picture is of the three of them after I prayed for them. Leah is in the beautiful green and blue dress. I promised I would continue to pray for her when I came home, and I won't let her down. Her story is so common in India, but planting those few seeds that we did whilst we were there can only be a hugely positive step to a better, safer, more blessed life to the women and girls there. The prayers and work that continue will be the water that helps to feed the seeds and enables them to grow and spread long after our departure from there. Finally, thank you so much for all your heartfelt prayers and messages before and during this trip. They meant so much to us. Thank you to Shaker and Chandra and the rest of the incredibly blessed and inspiring Godi family who made us so welcome. Thank you to Sarah and Jan for being amazing, gracious sisters. And I wanted to thank my friend Julie for helping me also before I went. And finally to the Lord for holding my hand very tightly whilst I was there.
It's 3 weeks today that I stood here and told you about the trip that was going to go out, and I asked for you to pray. I explained that we were going out to run a conference for 3 days. We were going to do a lot of work, but primarily we were going to go and speak to people in India about God's love for women. Women, as I explained, are put down in India. It's an appalling country in many ways to be a woman. From the womb to the tomb, they are discriminated against. So I stood there, and maybe you thought I looked very confident and could speak as I stand here now. I cannot tell you the fears that all three of us went with. We were going to do something very different. We were going to speak to men for the first time in our conference. India is never a place that you can quite get hold of and know what the outcome is going to be. So we flew out there. And repeatedly, I was reminded in the early part of that time, we were there for 10 days, of that story of the five loaves and the two fishes. Do you remember the little boy, the 5,000 men, 5,000 women, 5,000 children, goodness knows how many were there. And this small boy offered all he had, and how Jesus used that, and the abundance. Abundance is a word that stands over that conference. It started off from the kind of day two of being there. We had planned for just 30 people to be at that conference, 30 leaders who would take back our message. We were told that there were already going to be 70 or 80 people there. Everything was stretched. We spent time on the first day just going through the Bible, looking at stories of women. It's incredible stories of women. Jesus used women powerfully in his ministry. So often we miss that. On that first day, one man came up and said to Chandra Godi, "When do we stop talking about the women? When do we study the gospel?" The second day, we were so blessed. I always feel a celebrity when we go out there. We are the benefactors. We are the money. We are the white face. On the second day, we had people flying in from Delhi. We had people flying in from Rajahmundry. We had another charity speaking, the charity Viva, that talks to children at risk. Particularly their heart for India is women. They spoke. We started off in English. We moved to Telugu. A woman pastor who is over 80 churches, incredible. She flew in and I sat with the privilege of watching the faces just respond to her. Couldn't understand a thing. It was all in Telugu, just as we wanted it to be. But still, there was this hold. This hold. These men, you know, this is so counterculture what we were doing. We grow up in our environment to accept the way things are. It was on the third day that Chandra said, something broke. Something broke. I think now of those people. It is Sunday in India. I think of those pastors. I think of those women. I think of the seeds that we planted in their hearts through the word that we brought. Who will water that? God will water that. What changes will bring? Well, we don't know. We're just called to do our bit. That boy gave his five fishes. He gave his two loaves. God multiplied that. 16 years ago, a young man went out to India for the first time. He stood by a rubbish dump. He happened to come across an Indian. She spoke briefly about her vision of seeing a school built beside the rubbish dump. 2018, we visited that school. We met those children whose lives have been changed, the education that's being given. We met the women in the sewing school, how they're being given a skill. We met the orphans in the orphanage. We met the pastors being fed and trained in a country that, as we have been explaining perhaps over these years through Open Doors, is becoming increasingly hostile to Christianity. Our trip brought hope. Many of you here prayed. I know you did. And I want you to know we can't all go out to India, but we walked on your prayers. We saw God multiply what we did in a very small way. Many of you give financially to Agape Alive in India. Agape means unconditional love. We reach out to the Hindus, we reach out to the Muslims, we reach out to the Christians. I want to thank you. I stand here as a representative saying your money is being used wisely. There's so much more to be done. It's easy to look at the mountain and say, gosh, what can we do? What difference can we make? I suppose the answer is to put our hand in Jesus, keep our face looking at him, and take one small step at a time. I thank you for blessing us. I trust that you have been blessed by knowing more. Thank you. Amen.